The first year after Pesach, always, every year, seems to always revolve around the same topics. And at first I was hesitant to even go into these topics again, because it feels like every year it's always Chomet Shavuot Lava Pesach and issues of Sfira and Avelus of Sfira and what you are and are not allowed to do. But there are two reasons why I'm not going to hesitate to go into it. First of all, even though it happens every year, I don't know how many, we've been doing this year for about 5 years now. This is the end of the fifth year, probably the end of it, period. But this is the end of the fifth year, and I don't think any of you have been here from the beginning. Were you here from the? Yeah, you are. Your father and you. Yeah. So, but from the beginning, 5 years ago. No way. So okay. So one, it's not a repeat for most of you. Second of all, the idea of the shir, if I recall in my introductory shir about from the rabbi's desk, was to try to give an idea of the kinds of shilas that rabbis face all the time. And one of the ways to give over that impression is to realize which things keep coming back, keep coming up. So I'm not going to do the same exact shilas that we got in the past. That would be a little boring, but you know, some of the same topics. And then we'll do one that's a little outside the box. Okay, so with that background, here are the shilas. So the first one is going to be a Chomet Shavuot Lava Pesach related shila. Let me find the text so I can get the exact nusach of the shila. It went like this. Here we go. Hi, Rebbe. Looking forward to seeing you later. Okay, unrelated shiloh. I accidentally purchased a few bottles of scotch for the bar mitzvah. This person's making the bar mitzvah, his son's bar mitzvah, from Cappies. Anyone know what Cappies is? I didn't know what it was either. Only then I thought to call to see if they did a mechira. I spoke to the owner. Nice Jewish family. Did not do a mechira. So now I want to return the bottles for a cash refund. Would that be a problem of getting hana'ah from Chomet Shavuot Lava Pesach? I mean, he already bought all the scotch. Now to return it, he's going to get money back. So is that a violation of hana'ah from Chomet Shavuot Lava Pesach? Good. Shaila 1. Chap, yeah? Good. Okay. Shaila 2. There is a fellow that sometimes davens in my shul who is a popular Jewish singer. And over the course of Yantif, he was in many different hotel programs. In fact, if you open up any Jewish newspaper, you would find his picture in just about every hotel program advertisement. He said next year he's not even going to sing anywhere. He's just going to sell his face. And they'll put it in every advertisement, and then he doesn't even have to show up. They'll just say, he couldn't make it. And, you know, but anyway, he's not really going to do that. That would be another shaila. And it wouldn't be much of a shaila. So one of the programs that he went to had a Motsoe Shabbos, Motsoe Yontif concert, right? Because they do night activities in all these places every night of Chol HaMoed, and they also do one on Motsoe Yontif, sort of like a grand finale. So, for example, in the place where I spent the second part of Pesach, first part we're always home, but second part of Pesach, they had a comedian on the second part of Pesach. So, so this fellow did a concert on Motsoe Yontif. A person comes over to him in the hotel on around Mincha time, I guess, on Shabbos, you know, an hour or two before his concert, and says, "How could you do a concert tonight? It's Sfira. You know, it's one thing a Chol HaMoed, but it's Sfira." And he thinks in his mind, "Weren't you by the pool all day today on Shabbos?" Okay, but he didn't say that. The fellow says, my son just got back from Shalavim, and he told me this is Aser. Right? So, okay. So I think 1 year in Shalavim should be enough to be able to pass in that. So you want to know if it was in fact Aser for him to do that concert. He said, Agav, that he personally, his family minhag, is he observes Sfira from Rosh Chodesh to the end. So it wasn't Sfira for him. But is there an issue with him performing? He also wanted to know, and what about him taking jobs after Lag BaOmer, when a lot of jobs come in, and there's a lot of singing and dancing at that point in time, but it is going to be Sfira for him. So that was one Sfira-related Shaila. Another Sfira-related Shaila, just to throw it in there, if we're going to choose the second grouping of Shaila, another Sfira-related Shaila, I got a text from a cousin of mine in Eretz Yisrael, who told me that a colleague of his, a co-worker of his, is getting married in 2 weeks. He's getting married before Lag BaOmer, after Rosh Chodesh. Am I allowed to go to the wedding? They're getting married mamish at the time that everybody holds is usher to get married. So is he allowed to attend the wedding for this co-worker? So that is, I guess, all that will be shayla number two, sfira-related shaylas. Shayla number three, as far as I know, is not an actual shayla lemaisa, or it may be, but it was not asked of me, I should say, nor do I know who was asked of or what the answers were, but it's an interesting case that apparently happened. I may be getting some of the details wrong, but you know, the shmua in rabbinic circles was that the following case may have happened. There is a family where Rachmana Litzlan, unfortunately, as with many families, there was a lack of shalom in the family. In this particular instance, a couple, an older couple, had two children, and they more or less, the kids more or less got along with their mother, did not at all get along with their father, but they tolerated him so long as mom was alive. Mom passed away a few years ago, and in the almost immediate aftermath of mom's patira, dad and the kids got into an all-out horrible fight, horrible argument. They haven't spoken in years. The kids get a phone call one day. Just, if you're interested, you should know, dad's in the hospital, he's dying, you can come say your goodbyes. They hadn't spoken to him in years, but they figured, you know, at a time like that, they're going to go. So they go to the hospital to say their goodbyes to their father, and then he's in a coma. He's on a respirator. He's not at all conscious. So they say, well, what kind of goodbye? You know, is there any way that he's going to be awake again? So, you know, it broke their heart to see him like that, even with all their history. Is there any way that he's going to be awake again? So they said, well, you know, there are two options. One is he's having end stage, whatever disease. One option is we leave him on the respirator and he'll die within a month or two. But he's never going to be conscious. The person can't be. If he's on the respirator, he's not going to be. The other option is we take him off the respirator and then he'll die within a couple of days. But he'll be conscious for those couple of days and you'll be able to talk to him. So what do you guys want to do? So they said, we think we want closure. We'd like to talk to him and then we think he would like to talk to us also. And they took him off the respirator and they spent a couple of days, without asking a shayla, very important, without asking a shayla, and they spent a couple of days of deep emotion together with him, asking mechila for all that they did to him, him asking mechila for all that he did to them, and they cried together, they reminisced together, they spoke about their mom, and they, you know, all very, very beautiful, beautiful 2 days together. And then he passed away 2 days later. And now they have a shayla, are we murderers? Meaning, do we, what kind of tshuva do we need to do for what we just did? And they said, by the way, he said thank you to us for making that decision. He would not have wanted to die without having had the opportunity to spend those couple of days. Good? Okay, so we have shayla number one, which was the schnapps that was already purchased. Shayla number two, which was all the sphere shaylas, the musical performer. And shayla number three, about the fellow that was pulled off a respirator and potentially murdered by his children. Yeah, okay. All right, but this is like, it's the most, first of all, it's not really shayla, because they did it. It's over. They did what they did. So it's not so much of a shayla. Second of all, whatever ideas we're going to discuss, you have to understand the gravity of this. We're talking about Ritzich over here. So whatever ideas we might throw out, whatever svaras we might say, lahakel, this direction or the other, you need to be a gadol to really deal with it. And even then, you're probably nervous in how to answer such a shayla. So we're just talking, you know, ideas over here. Okay? Just let's get that out of the way. A respirator. is it, if let's say to keep a patient alive, you can attach it, you can attach him to a respirator, you can put him on a respirator, are you obligated to do so? If you can keep him alive, so to attach a patient to a respirator is probably not required according to most posts. If there is a chance, if there's no chance that he will recover. If there's a chance that he will recover and he needs time, and you're hoping that while he's on the respirator they'll be able to treat his, I don't know, whatever other, you know, his pneumonia or whatever, that's a bad example, but his other whatever medical problems that he's having, then you're obligated to do so. But if he's going to stay in a coma, he's never going to wake up again, and it's just a matter of keeping him in that state, and he's not yet on a respirator, many poskim that we would ask these kinds of shilas to, and again, I'm leaving all names out of this because it's too sensitive, but many poskim, you could ask me after, but many poskim would say that there's no obligation to put him on a respirator. However, if he's already on a respirator, to take him off of it is much more thorny. When I say thorny, I mean really problematic, right? Meaning, because that is going to cause, certainly if it's going to cause him to die immediately, that's highly problematic. Over here, it's not immediate. It's going to take a few days. The person will be able to survive, breathe on their own. So that's already a little bit more cloudy. Most poskim will not tell you can do it, but there's room to argue that that's not ritzicha. Meaning you're going to take a person off a respirator, they're going to live for a few days, just not as long as they would have lived on the respirator. Quality of life off the respirator is going to be much, much higher because they're going to be able to actually communicate with you and they'll be conscious and they'll be able to do mitzvos and tshuva and whatever. That is not... Rav Marcus told me he once had such a shayla with an older person, and he told me he asked, again, I'm leaving out names, he asked one of the Gedolei HaPoskim, and he was told that they can remove the person from the respirator if the doctors think that they'll have a few days to live. Over here, though, let's say that this is some form of ritzicha. Who's the murderer? The doctor, right? They don't let the family do it, right? They don't. The kids don't say, finally, our revenge. And, you know, right? The doctor is the one that does it. So what is the doctor as far as so does that absolve the kids of any responsibility here? Right? So you would think, and therefore they have no responsibility whatsoever. So what's the svar of Ein Shleach L'Dvar Aveira? No, Kiddushin Men? Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishom. We discussed it in Shir this year. Yeah, so Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud. I have like no memory. We spent like 3 weeks on it. Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishom. Right? So what's the famous Chakira about Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishom? So what exactly is the svar of Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishom? Is it I didn't think he would listen? Or is it he should know better? Right? L'may nafkamina, where I knew he was going to listen. How did I know he was going to listen? He's a hitman. I found him in the Yellow Pages under hitman. And I called him up, and that's what he does for a living. And he says, over 1,000 served, or whatever. He's got a whole cemetery named after him. I don't know. You know that he listens. You know that this is what he does. Or he's a physician. I mean, love you. Meaning, this is what if they give you that choice, should we take them off the respirator? And you make that choice. That's what they do. So you know that they're going to listen. They're not going to not listen in these cases. So would you say in such a case, maybe yeshliach l'dvar aveira? But over here in the Chora, it's even more fundamental, because if you learn the Sugin Kedushin Mem Gimel, the Gemara discusses ein shliach l'dvar aveira, and the Gemara tells us, at least according to one possibility, that the sheet of Shammai HaZaken is that there's one case where yeshliach l'dvar aveira. And what aveira is that? Ritzicha. Now when it comes to murder, yeshliach l'dvar aveira. How do they learn it? Because David HaMelech is blamed as the one who killed who? Uriah. The one who killed Uriah, right? David HaMelech, did David HaMelech himself kill Uriah?
Send him to the front lines.
But maybe, says the Gemara, Yesh Liach Lidvar Aveira, Dafkar who comes to Ritzicha, and therefore the Mishaleach is going to be Chayiv in that case, which is a very interesting thing. The idea that the Gemara says, Shain Yasim Degali Rachmana Oso Harakta Becherev B'nei Amon. You killed him using the swords of B'nei Amon. fascinating idea that you, David, have killed him in that way. The Radak, it happens to be in Shmuel Beis, Parakid Beis, says that that's only true by Uriah Achiti, because David was a melech, right? So when a melech decides that it's over, it's going to be over. But other people don't have that same level of certainty that that their decree is going to be carried out. But anyway, so, okay, but that's Shita of Shammai, who says we paskin that way. I mean, we would not be Mechayiv Misa for such a thing. It happens to be, it's a very fascinating discussion what the Svara is. Meaning, is it just Gzeres HaKasav, or is there like a Svara? That's why Ritzicha should be different than other Veras. So, Rav Eliashiv, I saw quoted, based on the Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchos Rotzeach, the Rambam says that a murderer who doesn't have sufficient witnesses, like let's say there's Edus Yuchedes against the murderer, or there's Edus that are Machish Bibdikos. So technicality, the guy didn't have Edim against him, but everyone, he went in Middle Times Square, they were Sasra, and they saw that he murdered Bimazin. Everyone saw it. But on technicality, the Edim, you know, contradicted each other on some, you know, silly questions that don't really matter, that are not nogeya to the Edus itself. So you know that the guy's a murderer. So the Rambam says, Dafka, in such a case, you machnisa l'kipa. You put him in a jail, and you let him starve, and you let him die. And the Rambam writes, Afal pi sheyesh avonos chamur mishvichas damim, even though there are averos that are more chamur than shvichas damim, ein behen hashchasas yeshuva shalolam k'shvichas damim. Nothing destroys society like murder destroys society. So Rav Eliashiv suggests maybe that's the extra chumrah of murder that yesh deyach l'dvar avera, because it's not only destructive in the sense that it's an avera, it's the most destructive avera to society in general. I saw another suggestion from the Rosh Shiva of Parat Yosef, who says that maybe it's because ritzicha is something that's very unpleasant. Right? Even killing small animals is very unpleasant. Right? Bugs is unpleasant. Right? Oh, can you kill it? Right? I don't want to. It's very unpleasant. So people who want to murder somebody will very often call in someone else to do the job. So it might be the more common way to commit murder, and therefore we want to make sure that the mishaleach is chayev as well. Be that as it may, it doesn't seem that we paskin that way. However, even though we don't necessarily paskin that yesh deyach l'dvar avera for ritzicha, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Rotzeach Shmiras Nefesh Perek Beis, Avala socher horeg larogis chavero. Well, you hire a hitman. Oh, sheshalach avadav baharguhu. Or you're cheap. You don't want to hire a hitman. You just find your Evid who works for you and you say, do me a favor. Can you go kill that guy for me? Oh, shekafas chaveru v'nichol lefnei ari. Or you take your friend to the zoo. You stick him at them when you know you say look there, and then you shove him into the lion's den, and that's it. And then you don't let him out. So now he's going to get killed by the lions. I don't think you're actually able to do that in most zoos, right? They're more safe than that, right? There was that story with Harambe with that kid. So you had that. My totally unrelated. My sister just sent me a picture of my nephew, who's a little boy. I have no idea how old. I don't know, 7 years old, let's say, and he was at the petting zoo. They live in Florida, and he had his sunglasses, and he went to each goat and put his sunglasses on each goat. He thought the goats were squinting. Okay, anyway, it's the weirdest picture. strange kid. but my sister's going to kill me for telling that story. It has nothing to do with the shear. But okay. Nachas. So the Rambam writes, you what do? You hire a hitman, you kofis lefnei ari, or anything like this. V'cheno horik esatzmo. Kol echon me'elu shofech damim hu. You're a shofech damim for doing such a thing. V'avon ariga biyado. V'chayiv misa l'shamayim. Okay, so you're not going to chayiv mis bezdin, but misa l'shamayim you're going to have. V'ein ben misa bezdin. Uminayin shekenu adin. How do I know that? So says the Rambam. Sharei Omer. Shofech dam ha'adam. Shofech dam ha'adam. Be'adam. Tamo yishofech. Zeh horik ba'atzmo shaloi de shliach. Es dam chamul nafshosechem edrosh. Zeh horik atzmo. Miyad kol chaya edroshenu. Zeh moseh chaveru lepnei chaya letofo. Miyad ha'adam. Miyad yishachiv edrosh es nefesh ha'adam. Zeh ha'socher acherim la'arugas chaver. He has psukim for each one. And whenever it says Lashon Drisha, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay you back for that. So we can't like hide behind the doctors over here and say, no, we're absolved of any guilt because the doctors are the ones that did it. Particularly when it comes to Ritzicha, those who send the people to do the Ritzicha are also very much connected to the Avera. Now, are there any Svaras to be lenient over here? To say that maybe they're not Rotschim and they didn't murder their father? So number one, the Rama quotes a Sefer Chassidim in Tavshin Chav Gimel. The Rama quotes in Yerideya Sim Shin Lamates Sif Aleph from Sefer Chassidim, most Tavshin Chav Gimel, where the Sefer Chassidim discusses what the Rama formulates as Hasaras Hamoneya. Now let's say a person is dying, and they're trying to die in peace, but they're in a New York hospital, and outside the window, there's someone doing construction work on the street, a jackhammer. And the person's trying to die, but they can't because this annoying jackhammer is keeping them awake. It won't let them just like drift off, right? Are you allowed to stop jackhammering? It's keeping the person alive. So says Rama, that's what's called Hasaras Hamoneya. If there's something that's keeping a person alive, and he gives an example, making loud noises that just won't let him drift off. So it's keeping him alive, but it's not keeping him alive. It's preventing him from dying. Right? He's dying, and this is preventing him from dying, so you're allowed to remove that which is preventing him from dying. That's the one of the two examples that the Rama gives. One could argue, the person has to be a goses for that to be true. Right? It has to be a case of gesisa. So one could argue that if this fellow is a goses, this old man is a goses, and he just wants to die, but this respirator is keeping him alive, that it's an example of Hasara Samoneya. Now, a person could argue, oh, there's a big difference between some external Moneya and something that's meant for Refua, meaning this is part of a medical treatment, but it doesn't seem that way from the Sefer Chassidim. It seems that it's an issue of Gesisa. The challenge with this, why is this not, okay, good, home run, great, they did the right thing. No? Why is this not like the greatest heter in the world? What? What's not immediate? So that's better, even better. Meaning he could have lasted another month. How do you define goses exactly? It's a very, what? So it's very tricky to know exactly what the gather of goses is. Let's say the respirator were to, there would be a blackout, right? Or a fuse blows on the respirator. I don't know if such things happen. They have generators in hospitals. Let's say a fuse blew and the respirator stops working and it's Shabbos. Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to turn it back on? You don't want to take that chance. It's the beginning of Shabbos. Pashas, yeah, right? I mean, it's Pikuach Nefesh. We're not ready to say that he's got a foot in the grave yet. And the definition of Goses is a very challenging definition. It's probable that he does qualify, but not so Pashas. Another suggestion I saw from, yeah?
They would have put him back on the respirator.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the medical ramifications of that. Meaning, I don't know. It could be once he's taken off, they can't bring him back. I don't know. You know, what do? They induce a coma when a person's on a respirator? Is that what they do? Anyone know? I mean, I think you definitely can't be conscious. So I assume it's some sort of induced coma. Did I tell you this Maisa? An unbelievable Maisa. Nogea Tiyama Shavah. Right? Unbelievable Maisa. I don't know if I told you guys this Maisa. Some of you maybe, I don't know if I said in Shir. I was Menachem Avel, a woman, on Erev Pesach, 2 days before Pesach, and she was sitting Shiva for her father. And she told me that her mother had passed away 5 years earlier. Both her parents were Holocaust survivors. And she said that her mother died in the most tragic of ways. She went into the hospital for a routine procedure. And that day in the hospital, a representative of a pharmaceutical company was there to sell a new product that was used in this procedure that the mother was having, and was overseeing the surgery to show them how to use this product in the patient. And the representative from the company was unaware that you can't put the product in upside down, or didn't know which way it goes in. I don't know what product it was, I don't know what organ they were working on or whatever, but they put the product in upside down, and it immediately put the mother into a coma, and she wasn't waking up. I wanted to ask the question. What's the question you would ask? Did you sue? I wanted to ask, but it's not polite, right? So I didn't ask. Right? Like, you should be so rich right now. I mean, like, that you would imagine the lawsuit, that's why doctors have malpractice insurance, because of horrible stories like that. So, but anyway, that's not the point of the story. She was in a coma, and they were trying to wake her up from the coma. She was dying now. She was going to die. But they were trying to wake her up from a coma so that they could have some time with her, some conversation with her. They couldn't get her out of a coma. The doctors were trying everything. They couldn't wake her up. One doctor says to them, "Is she a Holocaust survivor?" They said, "Yes." So he said, "Let me try something." This doctor grew up in a home, both of his parents were German. He grew up in a German-speaking home. He went over to her and yelled at her in German. And she woke up. This woman said to me, she said, "I don't believe these kinds of stories. It was my mother, I saw it with my own eyes." Something so deep in terms of the impact that such an experience had on a person, it's just like mind-boggling. You know, it literally woke her out of a coma. Because that deep, her eyes opened up, and they had two more months with her conscious before she passed away. But anyway, so a coma is, you know, these are tricky things. I'm sure I'm going to get emails from doctors telling me I'm a total idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about, and that everything I'm saying is like totally off. Okay, good. But again, we're not talking lemaisa over here. We're talking just in theory over here, and not even that. You know, we're just, you know. Okay, a second tzad l'kula, and I saw quoted by one of the gedolei poskim of our generation, the Me'iri in Yuma, Daf Pehe, discusses the idea that we're mechal Shabbos even for Chayei Sha'a, right? And he writes as follows, Misha nafla lav mapolas, someone who, you know, is stuck underneath rubble, a building caved in on him. Safek yeshno sham, safek eno sham. A building caves in, you're like, "Oh my God, was anyone in there? Oh, I think Yankel might have been in there. Was he? Didn't Yankel go to whatever for Shabbos? I don't know, but he might have been in there. I don't know. I don't know if he was just sleeping in or if he was away for Shabbos. I don't know." So you don't even know if he's there. But he might be there. And even if there's a second safek, even if he's there, he might be dead already. So what are you going to do? You're going to mechal Shabbos by pulling off the rubble? What are you going to accomplish? He might not be there, and even if he is there, he might be dead already. And even if he is alive, he is there, and he is alive. Is the uncle Jewish? I don't know. I don't know if the uncle's Jewish. So it's a subject whether he's a Jew or a non-Jew. Mechal l'malav. You're still mechal Shabbos. Mefakchin. Hischilu l'fakechu batku b'chotmo. Umatzu chai. Let's say you start pulling off the rubble, and you feel breath by his nose. You feel that he's breathing. Mashlimin b'pikucho. You continue the job. Af al pishin is barish eef shalolichios afilu shah achas. Even though you know he's not really going to make it, he's going to die anyway. Sheba osa shah yashuv belibo viyisvada. Whoa. What does he say? Why? Why? We're going to get him one moment. We'll get him an instant of time. Because what's going to happen in that one moment? Yashuv belibo viyisvada. He might have an opportunity to do tshuva. So that moment of tshuva may be more valuable than anything else. So apparently the value of Chayei Sha'a is the ability to do tshuva and to fix what you did improperly during your lifetime. What these children did is they gave their father the opportunity for tshuva, and them, in addition to themselves, the opportunity to tshuva, but the father the opportunity to tshuva and to get mechila from those that he had wronged. And in that sense, you know, they were Mekayim Uru Yishena Mishinaschem in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva sense, as well as in the literal sense. Again, you would not say this Lakula, right, to say, okay, so don't be Mechal Shabbos for someone who doesn't have the capacity for tshuva. You would never say such a thing, right? If someone, let's say, doesn't have the mental capacity for tshuva, you wouldn't say, oh, so we won't be Mechal Shabbos because it's only Chai Shah anyway. No, we'd be Mechal Shabbos for Chai Shah even someone who doesn't have the mental capacity for tshuva. But it's a svara to put out there. In general, we have been mekabel from Gedolei Olam that when people are dealing in a b'diavad situation, that they've already done it, they've already done what they've done, there's limited value in making them feel that they are murderers and that they are, you know, making them feel overly guilty. More value probably in telling them whatever you did was not right. You shouldn't ever do it again. You shouldn't tell people what you did. But as far as yourselves, you should do mitzvos and ma'asim tovim la'aliyas nishmasim. Meaning that would be the more, try to be more productive. You know, Rav Asher Weiss often talks about, I think he says from the Chiddush HaRin, that he said all the alchets on Yom Kippur. But he said them, I think Rav Asher's lesson was, at supersonic speed. Because there's only so much emphasis you should put on the past and indiscretions that you've done in the past. Much more emphasis on how to be productive in the future. But at the same time, we're talking about Ritzich over here. So you don't want to say that too much. Don't feel too guilty. What do you mean, don't feel too guilty about Ritzich? It's a very, very touchy case. So again, hopefully this is all just a discussion and this was never actually Lemaisa. The impression I get, I've heard like murmurings of some kind of case like this. That was going around, but we should never know from such things. We have 5 more minutes for one of the other shaylos. Any questions? Someone have a question? Yeah.
I mean, the second spot is in that case, the guy, they're not taking away time. He's going to die anyway. All they're doing is giving him an opportunity to live, but he's going to do the case presented.
Right. Right, but it's just that the Meiri emphasized that point of the, you know, Rabbi Bleichland once, Rabbi Bleich happens to be, in general, on these types of issues, very machmir in the sense that he wants the person to live as long as possible, and he requires extreme intervention, much more so than like Rabbi Schechter and Rabbi Willig would. That's my experience, at least. So, granted, it's a limited experience, but that's the sense that I get. So Rabbi Bleich, in a presentation about this topic once, said that when his mother was dying, and also they did extreme interventions, I think, to keep her alive, she was barely conscious. She was never opening. Right before Shabbos, he was leaving for Shabbos, his mother opened her eyes and said, "Good Shabbos." And he said, and visions of Rabbi Kiva Eger flashed before my eyes. What does he mean? How are you mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush on the Daraisa level? So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, Shabbat Tatava. So he says, there she was mekayim a mitzvah Daraisa. So when you thought her life, she had no quality of life, and what can she accomplish, what can she do? A mitzvah Daraisa, she was mekayim. Okay, others would say, yeah, but she's also in pain, and you know, like, to what extent you have to balance all these things. All right. Any other questions? Zaki, you have them? No? Okay. 5 more minutes for one of the others? Which one? The concert?
Whiskey.
Okay. All right, so we'll try to answer both within 5 minutes. So we're not going to go through the whole Torah. Let's the whiskey, just very quickly, just to answer the actual Shaila. There is an Isra now of Chametz Shavar Lav Pesach. Strictly speaking, returning chametz to a Jewish store that sold you Chametz Shavar Lav Pesach is mutter. Why? It's a Mekach Tov. They sold you whiskey that's worth $0 and 0 cents without telling you that it's worth $0 and 0 cents. The whole thing is mekach tos, but there's a bittel mekach, you deserve all your money back. Aye, but you have a problem. The only way you can get your money back is by giving them back the scotch, right? You're not going to get the money back otherwise. Nevertheless, it's still, since min adin, they're obligated to give you back your money. You don't have to give up that money, that min adin, they're obligated. That's not called getting anah from Chametz Shavar Lav Pesach. They have to give you back that money. That's their requirement, min adin. It's just that they're not going to fulfill their requirement unless you give them that Chametz Shavar Lav Pesach. So on that level, it seems that it's mutter. The Magen Avraham in Siman Taf Mem does raise the issue of, yeah, but what are they going to do with it then? What are they going to do with that scotch that you give back to them? It goes right back on the shelf and they sell it to the next unsuspecting Jew that walks into the store. In that case, it might be an issue of Lefnei Iver. So Magen Avraham seems concerned about this, but the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Taf Mem Sivkat Nyud says that he's not so concerned. I would just add that if you're in a community that's Rov Gayim, so you will make it, they're going to sell it to a Jew, they'll sell it to a guy. And even if you're a community that's Rov Yisrael, but all the Yisraelim are from, and they all look at their lists of where I'm allowed to shop and where I'm not allowed to shop, although my experience is you can give a list of 50 stores that are perfectly acceptable to shop in, and there's one store that's questionable or not so perfectly acceptable, and everyone must go to that one store. Like Mayim Genuvim Mtaku is never more apparent than in the day or two after Pesach, you know, where people must shop. I don't know why. I don't know why everyone feels like they need to, but that seems to be the case a lot of times. Like, can I buy at whatever, Crazy Arnie's or something like that? I don't remember what it was. Crazy Arnie's may be okay. I don't know if it's not. I didn't look at the list. But someone, like, whoever buys? You know? Like, what do you... I don't know, but okay. So that's one shayla. So mustama, it's mutter for him to return it, get his money back because they owe him that money. As far as performing at a concert, so first of all, for parnasa, all the poskim say that you're allowed to that the performer is allowed to perform during his own svira, right? For parnasa, the shayla is to perform during everyone else's svira when he suspects that most of the people coming there are observing the first day of the Sefira until Lag Ba'omer. So he said, he asked the rabbi the program, and the rabbi said, well, it's Isru Chag, so maybe, I don't think there's any heter of Isru Chag, I don't think that's really a thing. But the Svara to be Mekel, I think, is that it's, you know, it's not Vadei Lifnei Iver. People have to make that decision. Which days of Sefira am I keeping? And if they're keeping the first day, don't go to the concert. You don't have to be at the concert. There was a concert in the hotel that I was at in Chol HaMoed, and I didn't go because Rav Shach was machmir that the dinim of Sefira already applied during Chol HaMoed. So I didn't go to the concert during Chol HaMoed. Okay, it was hard to escape. In my room, I was able to hear it from there. It was in a tent outside, and I heard him singing that Adam of a Shamayim song. I'm like, ah! The fellow who did the concert was a different musician by the hotel that I was at. After he sang Adam Vashmaim, said, you know, there's a beautiful history. It was reported to me after. There's a beautiful history to this song. There's a beautiful history. It comes from Indian culture. Like, he was mamish saying it's Avodah Zarah. He didn't even realize that that's what he was saying. But another guy, the guy who dives in my shul sometimes, who's a prominent Jewish musician, I don't like to throw around names, but he said that he was singing Adam Shemayim in one of the hotels, and a kid comes running up to the stage with Temin Alacha on his smartphone, showing him Temin Alacha. So I would think that he would be allowed to perform. As far as attending the wedding in between, that, you know, when it's Vaday Asr, in the time that's Vaday Asr, so Moshe is a tshuva about this. So Moshe writes that since Sfira is a minag, and being Mesamech HaSemkal is a mitzvah overrides minag. That's why Rav Shachter holds that we're obligated to shave on Fridays during Sfira, right? Because the not shaving is only a minag. And shaving for Shabbos, if you don't look nice, to shave for Shabbos is a requirement, is a mitzvah. So a mitzvah overrides minhag. That's what Rav Shachter holds. So Rav Moshe holds that you could go be Mesameh Chasen V'Kala. You go be Mesameh Chasen V'Kala, and you don't have to worry about it, even though what they're doing is wrong. They're not allowed to get married in that time. But what I tell you, I got this text from my cousin in Israel. My cousin told me the Rabbanut doesn't do weddings between Rosh Chodesh and Lag Ba'omer, which means, yeah, this wedding is very likely a non-kosher wedding. If that's the case, I don't know that there is a mitzvah being Mesameh Chasen V'Kala. If the wedding's being done by a Reform rabbi and they may not have two kosher edim in that, so then it gets much more thorny. Yeah? Yeah? That would do it between... There's another show in town. Okay? I don't know. All right. So we'll stop there. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, O'Reilly.